The Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock! That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
All that ridicule you took, every bit of the ridicule you took after getting your butt beat, when you pound on their butt tonight, you think about that. You take every bit of your energy, every fiber in your bone, and you take it and you beat the piss out of them. I'm talking about beat the piss out of them. Let's go whip their ass. Let's go.
Fridays meets Brad Bowers, hour three out in Las Vegas. So, Brad, we got basketball, we've got football coaching news, you got a couple games left in the NFL. By the way, not that we ever talk NFL here, but last weekend, those games, I'm thinking the public got killed there, right?
Yeah, I mean, normally when favorites cover, public does well. But, you know, whenever the public zigs, it's usually a good time to zag. And what happened, Bill, was, you know, the underdogs were on a 14-1 against the spread run dating back to last year in the NFL playoffs. 14-1. So last weekend, the public decides, hey, we're tired of getting beat. Let's go ahead and start backing the dogs in all four games. And, another reason why the public, more often than not, only about 3% of people that bet actually win, and that was one instance where the public got beat pretty good once again.
I was just casually watching. I wasn't intently watching, but I was just thinking, man, look at these games, and I got to think the public. Yeah, you got to fade that. So those that faded the public did well last weekend.
Yeah, most certainly they did, and. It was a little in between. I mean, some of the sharper sides. I mean, Indianapolis was a preferred sharper side as well with the public, so that went down as well. That line came down in that game, so a lot of people lost that one, whether it was the public or the professionals. But one game in particular, I mean, New England was one. I just didn't understand the public fade. I faded the public in that one. I didn't understand why the public was fading the Patriots because of the travel spot. And that one you didn't have to sweat when it's 35-7 at halftime.
Well, and we're going to have weeks and months to talk about college football 19. But since Alabama's got so many staff members leaving, and we have noted, Brad, that their schedule is not very difficult next year, as schedules go. But what do you think when you're watching all this movement on the Alabama staff?
Well, I mean, they're still going to, you know, roll out one of the most talented rosters. And more often than not, Saban's done a decent job of replacing. Now, when you got to do it each and every year, I mean, there's no question that the coaching staff's not as good as what it was, say, you know, 3-4 years ago when the coordinators were, you know, Kirby Smart and Lane Kiffin. I don't think it might not ever go back to that as far as how good that coaching staff was. Is it an impact for me yet? Is it really moving the needle? No. It'll really depend on who he decides to hire and fill these spots. Is it a negative? I do think it is. I mean, we saw, you know, one of the reasons why I believe Clemson beat Alabama is the coaching staff turnover for Alabama and the lack thereof for Clemson. I mean, to me, watching the game, as far as who was making the coaching adjustments, who outcoached one another, it was Clemson over Alabama. And I think a lot of it, not just at the head coaching spot, a lot of it comes down to your coordinators and your assistant coaches. And there's no question I would take Clemson's staff right now over Alabama. We'll see who he ends up hiring. Alabama's still going to start the season in the top two. Their schedule, like you mentioned, still relatively easy. They're still going to be favored Alabama in every single game during the regular season. It's not a major move yet, but I definitely think there's a chink or two in the Alabama armor. And I thought the very first sign was last year's recruiting class not finishing in the top five. And I think some of it had to do with the early signing period, and some of it had to do with all the coaching turnover Alabama's had the last 3-4 years.
Hawkeye Jason has a basketball question for tonight, and it reads as follows. Maryland Buckeyes tonight. Maryland is on a winning streak, he says. Buckeyes are on a losing streak. Buckeyes favored by 2.5 at home. He says, is there any value here?
Yeah, I'm going to lean with the Buckeyes. I just think they need the game more. Buckeyes have lost 3 in a row. Maryland's hot. And then with that in mind, you got one hot team, one cold team. So what does the market say? The market's actually in the early market, and I would say who's betting basketball overnights? By overnights, I mean these lines get released, you know, the day before, very late in the afternoon, early evening. The early money's been on the Buckeyes, and to me it sounds like a must-win opportunity. You only get a few of those a year. I'll lean with the Buckeyes -2.5. I actually cashed a Maryland ticket earlier this week, but very fortunate to do so with them getting a late free throw with a second left to get the cover. I'll take the Bucks tonight, Bill.
Vince says, ask Brad, using the hashtag AskBP, how tough is Michigan's football schedule in 19? If you could pull that up and just glance at it, or maybe you've got it memorized already, how difficult is the schedule when you're looking at Michigan for the 19 season?
Well, they got a somewhat tricky non-conference game early on. They got Middle Tennessee to open up the season, and then a somewhat tricky game when it comes to playing Army in week two for them. So that's not necessarily too overly hard. They'll be favored in both of those games. And then when you get into Big Ten play for the Wolverines, again, playing in the much stronger division, they do have to go at Wisconsin after a bye week, so that's not easy. They pull Iowa as well from the West, so two of the better teams there. They have to go to Penn State. Penn State's going to be a little bit down next year, but still winning on the road in Happy Valley is not going to be easy. The week after that, they're going to play Notre Dame at home. That's late October, and that's after a couple of road trips to Illinois and Penn State. That'll be, their sixth consecutive game they got to play in a row for Michigan. Notre Dame's coming off a bye, so that's not necessarily a great spot for Michigan. And then, you know, they close out the season. At least they get Michigan State and Ohio State at home in November. So, you know, three of the tougher teams they play, Notre Dame, Michigan State, and Ohio State, at least they're all at home this year. But definitely, in my opinion, a relatively tougher schedule for Michigan. I wouldn't be surprised. At least a couple losses, especially with all their departures on the defensive side of the ball.
Tell you what, at quarterback and at wide receiver, they're going to be probably better off at wide receiver next year than they've been. With all those young recruits are now maturing and getting older, Tariq Black, Nico Collins, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Shea Patterson throwing it to them. Now, we don't know who their feature running back is. Caron Higdon is gone. Chris Evans is the name we know. They've got a recruit coming in from Cali. But that group right there could be pretty good.
Yeah, no question about it. The question is Jim Harbaugh going to let the offensive let it loose a little bit, throw the football
sure.
a little
Correct.
Bit more? And that's the major question mark there, open up the playbook. You would hope so, but, what I've seen in the first 4 years doesn't necessarily translate to that. I would expect them to throw it down the field. You know, maybe I'm on an island here, but I still got question marks on Shea Patterson. I don't know if he was, they didn't, unlock the change from him last year, but to me, I thought he was a solid quarterback, but nothing spectacular. Not good enough to beat the upper echelon of college football. Maybe make some strides next year, not having Tariq Black at the start of the season might have hurt a little bit, but I'm still not, you know, completely sold on Shea Patterson. Still a lot of question marks when it comes to Michigan.
Urban Meyer apparently is about to ink a deal, if he hasn't already, with Fox to be a primary analyst for them. Did you enjoy Urban Meyer the 1 year he worked at ESPN?
I'm trying to remember.
I don't really remember much. I just
I don't think he wasn't very memorable. I thought like Tom Crean in basketball. He only worked a year. He was quite memorable. Urban wasn't there. The only game I can remember him specifically doing, he was questioning Brian Kelly's play calling in a Notre Dame Pittsburgh game that year. I think Notre Dame won like 15-12. That's the only thing I can really remember from Urban Meyer as far as announcing. It's good because, the Big Ten has the Fox deal, and he can probably give a little bit more insight on those particular teams. But, he's never been a guy, it's from a personality aspect, that I said, man, he's going to really make a great broadcaster. So a little indifferent as far as I'm concerned. It's always great to have coaching, a Hall of Famer up there in the booth, but we'll see. He comes across not necessarily as a very personal guy all the time.
PTS says, what about the Indiana-Purdue game tomorrow? Now, as Brad said, you don't get those spreads until what, early Saturday morning?
Yeah, well, you'll get them later tonight.
Okay.
But by later tonight, I mean we're talking, your time there in Nashville, 7 o'clock or so tonight.
Right.
So I'll give you a general overview. Indiana's obviously been struggling a little bit. The game is in Purdue. Both teams have been struggling. Indiana comes in with 3 straight losses, including one at home to Nebraska, where they really took one on the chin there in a game that they were actually favored in. So struggling there. Purdue, a team that was up there among the best in the Big Ten last year. They figured some things out. I mean, they really struggled early on in the season, but have won 4 of their last 5 at home. I'm saying Purdue, in my opinion, probably be a slight favorite, probably 4 or 5 points. Don't have an opinion yet. It's going to depend on the lines, because the lines, as we move along towards basketball, are going to get tighter, and just a few points is going to be the difference for me in this one.
Before we break, we might be looking at Tennessee's best basketball team ever. They've never been to the Final Four, Brad, and I know anybody can get upset in a tournament.
Yep.
But that's what we're looking at right now.
No question. I mean, not only are they in the top 5 of the polls, but also when you're doing it, and keep in mind, a Vegas power rating is completely different. I mean, Tennessee's also top 5 when it comes to a power rating. Not very many weaknesses. Offensively, just absolutely dynamite. What their scoring margin in their first 4 SEC games is among the best ever of any power program in their first 4 games. I think in the last 20 years, it's in the top 5. So, no doubt about it. I can tell you right now, Tennessee, if you ask me, if I took a snapshot of any Tennessee basketball team right now in the middle of January, I don't think we've ever seen one as good as this one. So a lot to be excited there in Knoxville and Nashville.
All right, let's get the break. And Brad is with us. You can get your questions on Twitter to him by using the hashtag AskBP. We're at the Southern Steak and Oyster, which is just down the street from our good friends at the Omni Nashville Hotel.
A crash with injuries on Smith Springs Road in the 2300 block west of Bell Road. A wreck on I-65 south at West Trinity Lane. Downtown, a crash on Union and 2nd near Grumpy's Bail Bonds. Still clearing a wreck on I-24 east near White's Creek. I-40 staying slow at the eastern split. So is I-24 west near Hickory Hollow. Does your body ache? Discover flotation therapy for deep relief. Visit floatnashville.com. I'm AJ Rose with your on-time
traffic. Tired of paying out outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-204-0145 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-204-0145 to take your call now. Call 800-204-0145. That's 800-201-0145. Again, 800-204-0145.
In the heart of downtown Nashville, the Southern Steak and Oyster is a unique and animated eatery that offers an authentically Southern adventure with a twist. Whether it be breakfast, lunch, dinner, weekend brunch, the Southern Steak and Oyster has a variety of dining experiences. Visit thesouthernnashville.com to peruse menus, make reservations, purchase unique products, or book business and private parties. Located at 153rd Avenue South, the Southern Steak and Oyster offers free valet or validated self-park. Give the Southern Steak and Oyster a call at 615-724-1762 or visit thesouthernnashville.com.
Against all better judgment, Nashville Sports Radio presents Redneck Nation Radio. Captain Crazy Charlie and the Renegades of Puck talk Nashville Predators hockey every game day at 5 a.m. Check them out online at rednecknation.com or on Twitter at Redneck Nation. That's Redneck Nation Radio every game day morning at 5 right here on the station for hockey trench warfare, Nashville Sports Radio.
Forecast. Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyScan forecast. Early fog, then cloudy across Nashville today. We're looking at a high of 50. Showers possible this evening, low 47. Heavy rain Saturday, high 62, with dropping temperatures. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR, Alvin Washington.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Number one college sports show on the planet, the Bill King Show.
Despite what Bill may say, targeting is not the communist plot, but I am willing to entertain offers. You are listening to the Bill King Show, brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel.
Thank you, Slop. At the Southern Steak and Oyster, Brad's with us out in Vegas. Your handicapping questions, 888-702-5494. Twitter at Bill is King. Roundman says, please ask Brad about the Kansas City-New England AFC Championship game. He says the weather will be a factor. And I believe he says the current total is 55.5. So you can correct that or acknowledge it and tell us what you think about that.
Yeah, let's first talk, you know, weather. Now, it's been all over the board this week. Earlier in the week, it was predicted that the temperatures were going to be, you know, like 5 degrees, 6 degrees, 7 degrees. checking yesterday, it wasn't supposed to be too bad. I think more in the 20-degree range. And believe it or not, it does make a difference. Because when you're dealing with extreme cold, obviously it's a little bit tougher to catch the football. And I'm looking at it now, Bill. Now we're dealing with upper 20s. So I'll just generally speak, upper 20s shouldn't be moving the line too much. Extreme cold games, if you look since 2000, when temperatures are in single digits, believe it or not, it says go under. Nine of those 11 games went under the total. What happens when the weather gets, talked about all week long, a lot of times a lot of people are going to say, hey, lower scoring, it's going to be cold. It gets overpriced in the marketplace. If you actually bet games anywhere from 10 degrees to 30 degrees in the NFL in the last 20 years, the over is more of the play, and not necessarily it's where the value is. It's where the value is come game day, because everyone bets the under all week long, and then they just bet it too much under the total. At 55.5 with the current forecast, I'm kind of neutral on it. I'm not neutral on the side. I actually think the better weather throughout the course of the week benefits Kansas City. They're the team that has a little bit more of the team speed and rely heavily more on their playmakers than New England. I get it, New England, in that rare underdog role, that they seem enticing. But, again, I mentioned at the top of the segment here, whenever the public zigs, I'll zag. The public faded New England last week and got their butts beat, and now all of a sudden the public likes New England this week in the underdog role. I'm not buying it. Kansas City's the better team, playing with revenge from earlier this season. And you look at Andy Reid, his offenses have topped 40 points three of the last four meetings against Bill Belichick. I think, you know, when you look at New England on the road, this is number one factor for me. New England on the road this year, completely different. 3-5 straight up and against the spread. Failed to cover expectation. Expectation being the Vegas line by a combined 74 points in their road games this year. New England hasn't won a road playoff game since January 2007. What the heck? Bob Steakhouse, Chiefs minus 3. John Daly's pizza side, maybe under 55.5.
I have experienced the Kansas City cold. This was 08, I believe. And it was the Oklahoma-Missouri Big 12 championship game at Arrowhead. And we did our show. We did a pregame from the Arrowhead parking lot. And Now, the tent that we were in was a big corporate tent, and it had heaters and everything. But I'm telling you, it was from the NFL films where the face, you know, you see the pictures of the guys, and they have their face covered with the cloth, and then you can see their breath coming out white out the other side. Yeah. That's what it was like. I've been there. Oh, never been more miserable. Yeah, it was 08. And, of course, it was one of those Oklahoma blowouts over Missouri. A lot of points, and then that Oklahoma team ended up going and playing Florida down in Miami, which was way better weather. We were down there for that too. But I think, heck, I saw you in Miami. Was that for the Alabama Notre Dame game? I think you were down there then, right?
Yep, Alabama Notre Dame. I was down there.
I remember. Remember that hotel? What was the name of that? You go over the bridge. Don't they call that Harbor Island? Where isn't that what they call that area where the hotels were, where we stayed?
Yeah, it was
right in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, but Fort Lauderdale. That's about right, yeah, because, I mean, you're, what, a half hour or so from the stadium. Not a bad location. I mean, you're right there on the beach. So, I appreciated that. But, I think that's what, you know.
I think that's what it was, yeah.
I agree.
Forget. I haven't been. Well, I've been one more time since then. We were down there for the Oklahoma-Florida game and then the Alabama-Notre Dame game. And I'll tell you, one of the coolest things is on a Saturday, we did the show literally on South Beach. I mean, literally physically on South Beach, and Tim Brown hosted with me for 2 hours. Now, how about that?
Oh, that's cool. I'll tell you, the scene, the pregame festivities leading up to the game, and I don't know if people remember, but the energy in that building prior to kickoff, and I've been to about four or five different national title games. That one was incredible, the build-up to it. And then, of course, by Alabama's first possession, the energy, at least from one side of the stadium, was completely sucked out of it. But I'll tell you, the build-up to that one was something else, Bill. I know you've been to more than me. What was your thoughts on that?
Oh, I think that's an underrated venue. It doesn't get the sex appeal rating that New Orleans or Pasadena does. But I like it as much. I do. I'm not kidding. I'm in the minority on that. I know. But I enjoy that one as much. Now, scenic-wise, you got to admit, it's hard to beat Pasadena. That, you know, aesthetically, that's tough. But I don't like that one because it's inconvenient. Because they put you up in Newport Beach. At least that's what they used to do, which isn't anywhere close to Pasadena. And on that highway, you might as well be, and I'm embellishing here, but it feels like you're 10 hours away. Down
Heck yeah, especially after the game. I went to the year after the Florida State-Auburn game.
Right.
And I like the Newport Beach Hotel, but, man, after the game when you're tired and you're on that highway, and they don't give you the police escort on that highway like they do to the game. So, I sat next to Rick Neuheisel on the bus home from that national championship game, the Auburn-Florida State game, and I would say maybe five people on that bus stayed awake. Everyone was asleep on that one. Felt like it took 3 hours.
Brutal. Rob in the 210 says, please ask Brad from your college football power ratings which teams improved the most and of those which have the most starters coming back.
Ooh, that's a great question, and I haven't completely dived into that. But as far as the teams that made a major move, you know, believe it or not, Alabama was a team that made a major move. I ended up at the end of the season having the Crimson Tide power rating about a touchdown more than what I had at the start of the season. Clemson made a relatively move; they moved a touchdown as far as the overall ratings there. Looking over teams, I can tell you this. The biggest mover was actually a decliner, and that was Louisville. I don't think I've ever moved a team down as much as I did Louisville this past season. I moved Louisville down about 23 points from the start of the season. So if you're looking for the biggest movers, that definitely it was Louisville. But I'm just glancing over some of the power ratings here just to see if there's a team that's going to be pretty starter heavy coming back. You know, Cincinnati's relatively was a team that I really upgraded this past year. They're going to be relatively experienced. Utah State's got a new coach, but they'll be relatively experienced. Washington State loses their quarterback. They were a big mover. Virginia's a team to keep an eye on. They made a big move and power rated, in my opinion, about 10 points better at the end of the season than at the beginning. And they returned their quarterback, Bryce Perkins. Syracuse, although they lose their quarterback, Eric Dungy, Tommy DeVito's back for them. They were a big mover. You know, nothing's really blinking, you know, flashing. You know, a team that really moved this past season and also returns a lot of starters for the upcoming season. That'll be something I can be better prepared to answer as we get closer to spring ball.
Pardon me if you mention this, but for next year, and I don't want to go overboard here, but we're all kind of watching Nebraska for that next jump, right?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. But the problem is, market's pretty sharp, and it's tough pulling one over on the Vegas market because, you know, when you looked at some of the future odds with Nebraska already, as far as the offseason goes, they're being priced as a top 25 team, and that's going to be the expectation. They're 30-1 to win the national championship, and that's among a group. In fact, that's like the seventh or eighth shortest odds when it comes to the national title for the upcoming season. So they're already going to be priced relatively high. But I agree. I would not be shocked if Nebraska at least doubles their win total for the upcoming season. Adrian Martinez, I think, is a dark horse Heisman contender. I've seen some early odds on him. He's already gotten some action, open like 30-1. He's down to 16-1. At a couple of offshore books that have opened it up, but there's no doubt about it. Their record was 4-8 last year, but that team had the look of a 7-5, 8-4 team statistically, and Nebraska covered each of their last six Big Ten games. They'll be a popular play. So my advice to anyone that wants to play Nebraska in the future offseason odds this upcoming season, bet them early than later because a lot of people are going to be on them.
Bottom of the hour break here. We'll let you know how Brad, how he does his service and how you can get his service and everything else, because lots of you already do subscribe. But if you don't, you need to take a look at this. It's a plethora. It's a treasure trove of information. Tickets at Primo Seats, PrimoSeats.com. Longtime sponsor here on the show. And they are the best when it comes to providing you tickets. Best prices, best customer service. They do a fantastic job. Sean Sullivan, they are wonderful at what they do. Tickets to what's left of the NFL. Tickets to the NBA, NHL, baseball around the corner, college basketball right now, any college sport, any pro sport, anytime. And that includes concerts. Yeah, if you're going to concerts, get your tickets, Primo Seats. And again, get 5% off by using the name Bill Is King. That's right. Put that name in the promo code box, and that will get you 5% off. Each time you order, put that name in there, and you get 5% off each time. Brad is with us. We're at the Southern Steak and Oyster on this Friday, and we're presented by, place just behind me a little bit, couple blocks away, Omni Nashville Hotel.
A crash on Briley Parkway at Centennial Boulevard as a car crashed into the concrete divide. The left lane is blocked. Still clearing that crash on I-65 South at West Trinity Lane. Also on West Trinity, a wreck near Haynes Middle School. I-65 South a little slow coming off the South Loop. I-24 recovering but still congested on either side of White's Creek Pike. ICU Security specializes in surveillance camera installation and service. Check out their website at icusecurityinc.com. I'm AJ Rose with your on-time traffic.
When was the last time you did something fun with family and friends, even coworkers? What if I told you about a place under one roof that offers entertainment for all ages? Strike and Spare Family Entertainment, with 5 centers in Middle Tennessee, is just the place. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers offers bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are great for birthday and corporate parties, fundraising events, and all types of group activities and reunions. Visit them online at Strike and Spare Bowling. Also on Facebook and Twitter, or see him in Hendersonville, Hermitage, Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area. Enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville and Hermitage, including bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also has laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. There's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
R&B Dripless Gutters in Dayton is proudly saluting our troops and veterans. For residential or commercial gutter repairs or new installations, give the pros a call today at 423-994-5154. That's 423-994-5154. R&B Dripless Gutters, Dayton's most trusted and respected gutter experts. Wishing you a happy new year. They're people who care.
Part of you won't be satisfied till you eat made-to-order food that's hot and meaty like a meal. You want Penn Station East Coast subs. This is the food you daydream about. Grilled steak and onions covered in melty cheese with baked bready goodness and fresh-cut fries. See it with your mind's eye and smell it with your mind's nose. It's what dinner and lunch were meant to be. Answer your craving with something truly mind-blowingly delicious. Penn Station, hot, meaty goodness.
Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM has been your home for sports for 20 years. From typewriters to Twitter, fax machines to Facebook, we have you covered 24/7 and on the go. Finding us online is as easy as at Nash Sports Radio. Twitter, at Nash Sports Radio. SoundCloud, at Nash Sports Radio. Facebook, at Nash Sports Radio. Or search your app store for WNSR. 20 years of sports. Anytime, anywhere. From Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Bill King doesn't need a countdown clock because he already knows when football season starts.
The Steak and Oyster. Down the street from the Omni, Brad Powers with us, BradPowersSports.com. So, Brad, basketball, what's your advice on betting basketball as compared to college football? How do you compare them, or are you more cautious with one than the other?
I'm probably – well, I'm more cautious with college basketball just because, you know, if I was a true originator in college basketball, I would be studying it in, you know, October and November before the season starts. And obviously that's when football's hot and heavy in the middle of the season. I think what happens with a lot of people, because everyone's adjusting from football to basketball this time of year, a couple of things that I would say try to avoid. I think this time of year everyone wants to play. And look, more often than not, they want to play on the name brand teams, the Kentuckys, the Dukes, the North Carolinas. But be very careful this time of year. Those are like the known commodities. So regardless of what those teams are doing this season, how they've fared and what their current lineup is and how they've been doing as of late, when people jump from football to basketball, they immediately go to those known commodities and like to take them. So be very wary of backing the blue blood programs, at least this time of year in January. Doesn't mean you can't make profits off of those teams in February and March. It's just I usually see you're paying a little bit more of a premium than even what you're usually doing with those. Another thing, since you know we're only four or five games in the conference play at this point in the season, be careful of overreacting to just the straight-up records. So, you know, one team played a really tough non-conference schedule and, you know, that sat there and went 6-6 against it. The other team played a weak non-conference schedule and put a record of 11-1. Be very careful overreacting to that straight-up record. A lot of times I find value in strength of schedule disparities between two teams. You can get, you know, 200 spots different between two teams that are playing in the same conference, something that's very unique to basketball other than any other sport.
Here's a team that I wanted to throw out, which is not a blue blood, but the job that Kermit Davis is doing at Ole Miss. Now, I understand winning doesn't necessarily mean that you're winning betting them, but if somebody were to be riding Ole Miss this year, considering their record, would they be pretty successful?
Yeah, great question, Bill. So how about this? This is probably the most remarkable. If you're going to ask me, what's the most remarkable stat from the first, you know, a little bit more than 60% of the regular season college basketball, it's this one. Kermit Davis at Ole Miss, the best team in the country against the spread, 14-2 against the number. One of those non-covers was actually in their last game against LSU. They were 14-1 prior to that against the spread, not straight up against the spread. That's awfully tough to do. Right. Ole Miss, the Revs, number one in the country. So the team, you guys are very familiar with this, the team that Kermit Davis left, Middle Tennessee, prior to last night, Middle Tennessee was the worst team in the country against the spread. The Blue Raiders were 2-13 against the number prior to last night. They got a good win and cover, an upset win and cover last night. Now they're no longer the last, but still in the bottom five in the country out of 353 teams. So you got the best, the team that Kermit Davis is now coaching this year, and practically the worst team, the team that he left. That alone, in my opinion, if that continues, Bill, give Kermit Davis the National Coach of the Year.
That's first of all, he's a good guy. He was here for a long, long time at MTSU, and that is very ironic. The reason why I asked you that is I knew I saw that tweeted somewhere. I think, well, you know what? You said one of the non-covers was the most recent LSU game because I think what I saw was it was 14-1, and I guess that was prior.
Yeah, they were 14-1. And the thing it is in college, you know, it's very tough to do that in any sport. But college basketball, you know, you don't pay, especially teams, and you think Ole Miss, you think, well, that's a Power 5 conference team. How does that get overlooked? I mean, Nebraska last year is a team that went like 18-1 against the spread in a 19-game stretch. The college basketball market's a little bit slower to adjust than the football markets. And that even goes for some of your Power 5 programs. Now, Duke or Kentucky or Kansas couldn't pull that off because it would just get too much play in the marketplace. But even schools like Ole Miss and Nebraska can go on these incredible runs until it gets priced out in the market.
Tell you what, we'll let you run and get on into your weekend. Tell everybody how they can get your service.
Yeah, BradBauerSports.com. At the top of the page, click on the Bill King tab, as always. Still got a few issues left as far as this year's newsletter. It's $29, but you can renew for this upcoming season, $69 for the entire season for next year. In fact, $69, and I'll throw in the last couple of issues of this year for free. So for $69, you're going to get every single newsletter coming out of my office for an entire year, $69. That is a football newsletter, but keep in mind, all the off-season markets, we send you newsletters monthly during the off-season, weekly during a season. Talking college hoops, if you want VIP service, so that's not a weekly newsletter, that's a daily updates as far as college basketball goes. Price for that is $2.99. $2.99, that covers you all the way through the championship game. The newsletter, $69. BradPowerSports.com, Bill King tab, top of the page.
Appreciate you, Brad.
Right back at you, Bill. Take care.
We're going to take the break in a second. Let me tease something. When we come back, Crazy Charlie has updated information on the Cosby Cattleman, specifically whether or not he is indeed incarcerated in a Cock County jail due to a moonshine deal that went bad. That was the word we got early from Spence on the show, who called in. It was his understanding that the Cosby Cattleman has been incarcerated over a moonshine deal. Crazy Charlie's got an update on that when we come back. One more break here on the Friday edition from the Southern Steak and Oyster, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
A wreck near the White Castle on Nolansville Pike, steel clearing crashes on Briley at Centennial Boulevard and on I-65 South at West Trinity Lane. Watch for debris in the road on I-40 at Donaldson Pike. I-24 staying slow around White's Creek and around the Eastern Split. The U.S. Air Force has more than 200 career options. Log on to airforce.com. I'm A.J. Rose with your on-time traffic.
At CarMax, when we say we buy all the cars, we mean it. Over the last 20 years, we've purchased millions of cars from coast to coast. In the last year alone, we've bought a mountain of Mercuries, an armada of Nissans, a ton of Titans, an ocean of Pacificas, and a sea of Siennas. Not to mention a few Hellcats and a couple of Tornadoes. So no matter what you're selling, CarMax is buying. And we'll buy your car even if you don't buy ours. CarMax. We buy all the cars.
GEICO presents unhelpful home improvement how-tos.
A slippery bathroom floor can result in expensive hospital bills. So today, I'll show you how to cushion a serious fall by filling your bathroom with thousands of plastic balls. Just nail a piece of plywood across the doorway and dump in 2,000 multicolored plastic balls.
You could try to protect yourself with a bathroom full of plastic balls, or you could get liability coverage through the GEICO Insurance Agency. Visit GEICO.com and see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Discover a new level of relaxation at Mokara. It's your chance to revive, rejuvenate, and restore amidst the welcoming tranquility of our award-winning destination spa. We invite you to sample our extensive spa offerings, including massage therapy, facials, body treatments, salon services, and so much more. Experience refined relaxation at Mokara Spa, located on the fourth floor of the Omni Nashville Hotel. For an appointment, simply call 615-761-3600.
Middle Tennessee. It's Grizz Nation's biggest event of the season. The annual MLK Jr. Celebration Game presented by your Mid-South Ford dealers. Get your tickets to watch the Grizz take on Anthony Davis and the Pelicans Monday at a special 4:30 p.m. tip-off time. Go to Grizzlies.com for details. Then, Grizz Nation. It's time to get tickets and get Memphis. Join Mike Conley and your Grizzlies as they host Kemba Walker and the Hornets Wednesday at 7 p.m. Call 901-888-HOOP or shop Grizzlies.com today.
Forecast. Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. Early fog, then cloudy across Nashville today. We're looking at a high of 50. Showers possible this evening, low 47. Heavy rain Saturday, high 62, with dropping temperatures. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR, South in Washington.
Sports Radio WNSR.
We'll be right back.
King is the mother 12th data point of college football.
Always good to be at the Southern Steak and Oyster. Fantastic place to get a meal, get a drink, whatever you need. Wonderful place. Just down the street from the Omni. Okay, Crazy Charlie informed me about 10 minutes ago that he has updated, meaning fresh information on the Cosby Cattleman and whether it's true that he is currently incarcerated in a Cock County jail. Crazy Charlie, what's the latest?
Bill, I got to tell you, since the area is an Eastern time zone that we were talking about, and it's already a little bit later into the business day, I was able to use the old, say, traffic and newsroom credentials that I held for so many years at different outlets here throughout the city. And I know how to call and talk to the different dispatchers and get myself into the areas to get certain reports. And I made a couple of phone calls this morning. I finally got myself into the Cock County Public Information Officer's phone there, and I got a return call, and I was able to put in a couple of requests. Now, because of Adam, I've been able to learn the true identity, and I will not reveal that here on the air, of the Cosby Cattleman. So with that identity, I was able to talk to the public information officer at the Cock County facilities, and there is no one going by the name or description of the Cosby Cattleman currently or in the last several days having been in residence at any of their facilities. So, well, he may be hibernating. He may be somewhere else on a moonshine run. We do not know, but I can confirm Spencer's report from earlier this morning is not accurate, and the whereabouts of the cattlemen from Cosby are 100% unknown, but I have gotten true facts from the public information officer in Cock County that there is no one going by the true identity that the Cosby cattleman uses in jail currently.
I know you had his name, but did you say it's a guy who loves Tennessee but hates everything about him? Did you mention that?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Bill, he said, "You're going to have to give me a better description than that. We run across a lot of fellas like that around here." He said, "We're a real conflicted group. We really like to get down and party, but we're real conflicted on Saturdays. And we tend to argue a lot on Sundays, and sometimes we end up here on Mondays."
Did you hear any gunshots in the background when you were talking to these people?
Well, I was talking to someone inside a secure office, so I didn't hear anything going on externally, but I can tell you the public information officer for a Friday morning did seem rather urgent to finish up helping me and get back to what is probably going to be an incredibly busy day leading into the weekend over there in the hills. I would imagine. Right. But, Bill, we have confirmed we will continue tracking. We'll continue counting up the whereabouts of the cattleman. We can at least say not in a Cock County jail facility on this morning or any time in the last couple of days. Hell, there's a lot of other counties out there, Bill, and we know cattleman sometimes gets up to Kentucky to watch a couple of horses run. He goes here, he goes there. But I can confirm at least in the closest to his ranch, he's not residing in any of the public facilities.
Appreciate the update, CC.
We'll keep tracking it, Bill. Next week could be a big week. Maybe we'll find some more information. We appreciate Spencer trying to get us some tips. And our hotline, 702, what's the phone number, Bill? I forgot it.
888, yeah, 702.
702, yeah, that number.
5494.
Call that number with tips about the whereabouts of the cattleman. There could be a potential reward if you give us the tip that breaks the story. Well,
see, I was hoping that you were going to come back and say, "We finally smoked him out," and he called you. But that didn't happen.
I have not spoken via phone to the cattleman from Cosby, and I cannot divulge the other methods I have, but there are other back channels that seem to be appearing from other tips. Bill, we'll start that fire, and we'll see what happens by the end of the weekend. You never know what kind of dickle rings will bring things out.
Yeah, I was hoping there was something, but no, I'm not so fortunate. This all started early in the show when Spence called and said that he had information that the Cosby Cattleman was incarcerated in Cock County, which is East Tennessee, which is Newport, Tennessee, which is a very lawless county. Just lots of lawlessness. So we thought we at least had him isolated, identified wherever he was, and at least as of the moment, Crazy Charlie, knowing what he's doing, made a few phone calls, and apparently no Cosby Cattleman. Again, I don't want him incarcerated, but I would like to know where he is. And let's face it, now the moonshine story, an arrest due to a moonshine deal gone bad of some sort, or a moonshine discovery, whatever, is a pretty good narrative. I liked where this was going word-wise. I did. So we thought we had smoked the Cosby Cattleman out a little bit. Apparently not the case. The Cosby Cattleman continues to evade and elude the show. But we got the good thing about it is folks like Spence, they're sniffing around trying to find this. I like that part. With the resources we have, meaning this audience, we ought to be able to track the Cosby Cattleman down. And if he's got a beef with the show, air it out. Let us know what happened. Who ticked you off? Are we now on the same list like with Fulmer and all the people he hates up there? The leadership, the upper leadership. Are we on the same list with Fulmer and Dooley? He calls him Fooley. And Butch in that group. I mean, we were, let's face it. We were the Cosby Cattleman safe haven. We were his go-to spot. You know? We provided that for him. So the drama continues. Tiger says on Twitter, Bill, my source tells me that the Cosby Cattleman is busy auditioning for the next season of Moonshiners on the History Channel. I would, now, let me tell you something. I would watch that. I would absolutely watch that. Rob in the 210 says, hey, Bill, maybe the Cosby Cattleman is away with Millie and now lives in Council Bluffs. Now, I'm stereotyping. Just listening to Millie, I don't think that's his type, but I'm guessing. Okay, I don't know that. He's never really said, Bill, this is my type. Yeah, I'm definitely stereotyping there. No question. Guilty as charged. So anyways, the Cosby Cattleman. Yeah, and I tweeted his account. He does have a Twitter account. It's at Cosby Cattleman. So you can follow him if you want. He's got 73 followers. His last tweet was October the 14th of 2010. And it reads, I'm heading to the peaceful side of the Smokies. Then before that, he tweeted, I just got back from Big Jim's Ice House. Now, I don't know if you know what that's about. He used to use that term all the time. Haslam, which has all those gas stations all over. I mean, just zillions of them, right? Multi-zillionaires. All those gas stations, you know, where you can go in and get gas, you can go in and get beverages and everything else, ice, beer, Coke, fountain drinks, a snack, whatever it is, at the Pilot Oil stops. That's Haslam, right? He called that because Jim Haslam, Big Jim's Ice House. That's what he named there. So every time he goes to Pilot to get him a tall boy or whatever he's going to get, he says, I just got back from Big Jim's Ice House. Because Big Jim is Big Jim. Big Jim Haslam is definitely Big Jim. Vince says, hey, Bill, maybe the Cosby Cattleman has entered the transfer portal. He's got nowhere to transfer to. He's been banned on every show in East Tennessee. They don't like him calling those shows up there because they don't want him bashing the mothership, which is the Vols. He's not allowed to call in those shows. He is very allowed to call here because he's damn entertaining. Matter of fact, I'm complaining now because he's not calling here. Folks in East Tennessee don't care because they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear him bashing Fulmer and all that group. They don't. That right there ain't towing the company line. We don't play that here. But good point. I mean, the transfer portal is popular. But he's got nowhere to go. I'm just saying. Yeah, the Cosby Cattleman is one of the best callers ever. No question. For now, he's lost. For now, he's gone. Okay, that music means we got to wrap it up. At CrazyCharlie615, at Bill is King on Twitter. All the audio, podcast, all that is posted for you. If you missed the show, you want to hear it again, it's there. I'll be around all weekend on Twitter, at Bill is King, or you can email me, BillisKing7@gmail.com. Losh Pop.
You're listening to The Bill King Show, the only college football radio show proven to make you smarter about college football.